Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chavanarottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Chamadyecha Harisavata Giyate Mukham Kuroti Bachalam Pangum Langayate Giri Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarane Hare Krishna Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So you're reading in the Sixth Canto, Chapter 2, Text Number 33. Is that right? 6233. Please repeat. Anyata Mriyamanasya Na Ashuche Vishalipate Vaikunta Nama Grahanam Jiva Vaktum Iha Ahati Anyata Mriyamanasya Nashuche Vishalipate Vaikunta Nama Grahanam Jiva Vaktum Ihahati Anyata Mriyamanasya Nashuche Vishalipate Vaikunta Nama Gohanam Jiva Vaktum Ihahati Anyata Mriyamanasya Nasuche Vishalipate Vaikunta Namagahana Jiva Vaktum Iharhati. Nasya Vishalipate Vaktumihahati Matajis Anyata, otherwise Mriyamanasya, of a person who is just ready for death. Na, not. Asuche, most unclean. Vishalipate, the keeper of a prostitute. Vaikunta, of the Lord of Vaikunta. Nama Grahanam, the chanting of the holy name. jiva, tongue, vaktum, to speak, iha, in this situation, arhati is able. Translation and prayer put by Srila Prabhupada. Arjamila is speaking, and he says, were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it could not have been possible. Please repeat. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it could not have been possible. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The name Vaikunthapati, which means the master of the spiritual world, is not different from the name Vaikuntha. Ajamil, who was now a realized soul, could understand that because of his past spiritual activities in devotional service, he had gotten this opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati in his horrible condition at the time of death. Om Gyanatamarandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chokshunmalitam Jinatasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnubadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Govinda Swaminiti Namane Namo Vishnubadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nevishesha Shunyavari Paschita Deshitarane. Translation again. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it could not have been possible. So, Srila Prabhupada says in this purport that he had become purified by the mercy of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. It's explained that this material world is a place of ignorance, a covered consciousness. It's a maya jagat. Therefore, the soul is in the covered consciousness, meaning it cannot understand that it is a soul, that we are souls, or that understand about the Supreme Soul, Atma, Paramatma, or to understand that we have relationship with that Paramatma, with Krishna. So, Krishna says, I'm in the heart of all living entities, Savasya, Chavira, what is it? Savasya, Chaham, Hridi, Sanavishto, Mata, Shmitya, Jnanam, Aponam, Cha. I'm seated in everyone's heart, Krishna says, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So this world is the world of forgetfulness. We're forgetting what is the Sanatan Dharma. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Bhagavan and Bhakta and Bhakti, they are not of this material world. So unless those personalities, unless Krishna comes, and unless Krishna sends his dear devotees to perform bhakti, without that association with Krishna and Krishna's devotee, and hearing about that loving devotional service, then we just remain in a covered consciousness, a material consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna, out of his supreme compassion, then he descends here. He establishes religious principles, which we have forgotten due to this ignorance. So Prabhupada explains that either Krishna or Krishna's devotee can free one from maya. In that verse, Daivihiesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatyaya. And out of that supreme compassion, Krishna comes, and Krishna sends his devotee to purify us by engaging us in devotional service. It's explained that Krishna, he's dancing with the damsels of Brajabhumi in his holy abode. He's enjoying eternally there. So why will he come to this dreadful place of this material world, which is a place of suffering, the prison house? And so he comes. There's internal and external reasons why he comes. But he wants to associate with his devotees. He wants to enjoy with his devotees. He wants to destroy demoniac tendencies or demons. And he wants to reestablish the religious principles. So this is out of his compassion that he comes. And then he enacts his leelas or his pastimes here in the material world. And Krishna is all attractive. His pastimes are also all attractive. Anything to do with Krishna is all attractive, including Krishna's devotees. They're also all attractive because they're carrying Krishna within the heart and they're speaking, they're glorifying Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking about that loving relationship between Krishna and his dear devotee. And the conditioned soul, by hearing about Krishna, by hearing that Hari Katha, Krishna Katha, this is creating the Sukriti, Bhakti Sukriti. So, by their mercy, by their contact, by hearing about them, the conditioned soul then is able to purify their heart and their consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada explained that I'm setting up the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to create an environment, a temple, mandira, where souls can come and hear about Krishna. And by hearing about Krishna, we're able to purify our consciousness. It's explained in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is the purest of the pure. So if we associate with Krishna and Krishna's devotees, by their mercy, we can become purified. So this is a question of Sukriti that is being discussed. Arjamil, he could understand that because of his past devotional service, that Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna never forgets. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada had said that because Krishna is within the heart, he is so kind that if one has ever rendered any service to him, the Lord never forgets him. And thus the Lord within, he gave Ajamil the opportunity to name his youngest son Narayana, so that in the affection, in his affection, he would constantly call Narayana, Narayana. And by thinking about Krishna, by chanting his holy name, saved from the most fearful and dangerous condition at the time of death. So this is Krishna's mercy. Any devotional service that is done, Prabhupada sometimes explains, is like putting in a bank account. Whatever we do materially, if it's not for Krishna, it's ultimately useless. Whatever we do sincerely or seriously, even consciously or unconsciously, agyata sukriti, also one can accumulate this piety. One can become pious by this touch with Krishna and Krishna's devotee. One can become purified. So, Shunvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. How to become pious, how to become purified, means that we have to hear Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hear about Krishna. And then it's explained in that verse that Krishna within the heart, as the Paramatma Chaitu Guru, he purifies the heart and the consciousness of that living entity. So if Krishna and Krishna's devotees do not come, they do not speak about Krishna, then everyone in the material world is simply in covered consciousness, material consciousness. There's no hope for our deliverance. So Krishna comes, Krishna's devotees come, and they engage us in this process of bhakti. And Prabhupada says, factually, the path of bhakti is a path of hearing. That means to hear about Krishna. Prabhupada stresses and emphasizes that the first and most important aspect of devotional life is to hear about Krishna, Shravanam. So his whole program from morning, noon and night is to chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, speak about Krishna, whoever you meet. Now you're going on book distribution, you're going out meeting many people. So then you're able to speak about Krishna, think about Krishna, and by that contact, then Krishna purifies the heart and soul. If the living entity gives some donation, he does any type of devotional activity, then that goes into his eternal spiritual bank account. He accumulates this sukriti, bhakti sukriti, knowingly or unknowingly. Prabhupada was laughing. He said, if a man, a junkie, he wants to take his $15 and he wants to go buy some whiskey, and somehow, by hook or by crook, you little trick him and you take that $15 and you engage it directly in Krishna's service, then that person becomes now imperceptibly benefited by that contact with devotional service. Prabhupada says, not that you take the $15 and then go out and buy your own whiskey. Not like that. It must be engaged in Krishna's service completely. Otherwise, Prabhupada says, then the karma, both will be implicated in karma. So this is accumulation of pious activity or devotional activity and purifying our heart and consciousness by that contact. So Ajmil, he's realizing in that purified consciousness, what was his condition? Srila Prabhupada speaking about how fortunate person by the mercy of the Lord comes in contact with spiritual master. Which is the first mercy of the Lord. Where is it? We can quickly look at that. Srila Prabhupada was speaking in one letter to Hayagriva, Los Angeles 14, 1970. And Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that I am so much moved from your kind sentiments that you have expressed for my humble activities. Actually, I am not worthy of any one of the words spoken by you, but all of them are due to my spiritual master who was so kind to me. In fact, I am a worthless person because my spiritual master, he ordered me to take up his work in 1922. But I did not carry his order until 1958, when I was obliged to carry out his order by his arrangement only. This means, although I was not very enthusiastic to carry out his order, he forced me circumstantially to accept it. So this is his special mercy upon me, and I always think about this with gratitude to this exalted personality coming directly from the Vaikuntha world, and we had the great fortune to meet him. I think that is the only credit on our part that we happen to meet him by some agyata sukriti, or unknown auspicious activities. Prabhupada takes such humble position. He is so kind upon me that when I came to your country where I was completely unknown, he sent to me some good souls like you, unsolicited. So I accept you all as assistants or representatives of my Guru Maharaj, who is still helping me because I am so feeble and unworthy. Anyway, the business which we have taken to work together, it is neither your business nor my business as far as we are personally concerned. But it is the business of Lord Chaitanya and his bona fide servants like my Guru Maharaj. Therefore, it is the duty of all of us to execute it as nicely as far as possible within our capacity. In other words, we shall just try to discharge our responsible duties faithfully and seriously, and then all facilities will come for our help. Srila Prabhupada ki. So this mood should not be misunderstood as some type of materialistic emotion. It's a spiritual emotion. And you see, even Ajamil, when he got purified by the association of the Vishnu Dutas, and then later he had done some Sadhu Sangha, Premi Bhakta Sangha, by that association he became purified. And they're always in the mood, feeling the lowest of the low. Vaishnava mood is that if you look at all of the different Vaishnavas that are there, if you look on that list, I'm actually on the bottom. I'm the low, on the low end. So this is mood. But here Prabhupada says that somehow by some agyata sukriti, some previous contact with sadhus in this life or previous life. I remember one pastime, one devotee, Prabhupada disciple, he was saying that sometimes on these long, arduous flights, Srila Prabhupada, he would sometimes lay down across the bench if there was some extra seat. And then sometimes Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet would be towards the aisle. And then some people, naturally in the plane, they would be walking back and forth, and sometimes they would a little bit bump into, inadvertently, Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. So, such a personality is like touchstone. He's holding all the full mercy of Krishna. And therefore, anyone who comes in contact with, consciously or unconsciously, can somehow get this type of sukriti. Bhakti umukhi sukriti means not unknowingly getting, just somehow by some contact. And there's that story where Srila Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue, and that person who's a street person, somehow Krishna within the heart inspired that junkyard man to come with the toilet paper, as they had just started that temple there. So somehow Krishna, he's so kind that he inspires us. Anyway, you go there, you do this. Ultimately, that intelligence, that inspiration is coming because Krishna is so merciful. And when that person came in, I'm sure some person said, oh, why is he here? How he kick him out? He's drunkard, he's a street person, he's maybe not smelling so great. And Srila Prabhupada, no. He's doing seva. He's doing bhakti. So this is mentality of such premi bhakta, that he's always thinking how to benefit the human society. Thinking how somehow to purify them, to engage them in bhakti and devotional service. And this is the great mercy of Krishna, that he also sends such personalities here to deliver us from such a fallen condition. And Krishna never forgets any sincere service that is rendered. If you're getting benefit, if Prabhupada says, if you're getting benefit unconsciously doing, unknowingly doing, just imagine how much benefit you're getting if you are consciously doing and sincerely and seriously thinking that let me try to please my spiritual master, let me render some loving service to him, let me try to cooperate with him and to fulfill his desire. Srila Prabhupada, now the Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon is going on. Srila Prabhupada was so much emphasizing book distribution. And many times I heard also Prabhupada said, what will your preaching do? You just let them come in contact with my book. Let them read one line of my books. Then now their life will be very, very successful. If one is very, very serious in one lifetime, one can go back with Krishna. Golok Vrindavan. Krishna says you must be cleared and free of all of your sins in order to go back to the spiritual world. So our spiritual master, he is engaging us in devotional service, hearing and chanting day and night. Prabhupada's program is there. General instructions, specific instructions. And this is meant to purify the contaminated heart and consciousness of the fallen souls. Of course, the advanced devotees are also hearing and chanting about Krishna. Nigama kalpaturo galitam palam. They're also relishing hearing and chanting. So Prabhupada explaining that this is like a medicine. Prabhupada sometimes call it like a poison. You may not understand how poison is working, you know, from the chemical point of view or biological point of view, but still, if you take poison, it's going to kill you. Now, later on, you may then find out technically how it is working. So Prabhupada said, you may understand, you may not understand. Somehow let it touch your ear. Let it somehow try to purify and make us pious by engaging in that shravanam, which is the first step in devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, I also heard one person, sometimes one Prabhupada disciple explaining that when we have such an exalted spiritual master and we understand the philosophy, then sometimes maybe a little bit of pride may come that, oh yes, I must have done something, that I got such a spiritual master, and we may feel like I'm, you know, somebody. And then I heard one Prabhupada disciple said, then they asked Srila Prabhupada, then, you know, we must have been somebody or we must have done something in previous life, some Sukriti, Bhakti Sukriti. And Srila Prabhupada says, I'm creating your Sukriti. Don't take any credit for yourself. I'm creating your Sukriti. And Srila Prabhupada here, he's saying, maybe something happened unknowingly, taking humble position, some type of contact with sadhus and devotional service. Somehow, by that mercy, I came in contact with my spiritual master. So, spiritual master, bona fide guru, he's always thinking how to engage everybody according to their capacity, somehow or other. And especially Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing this hearing about Krishna Shravanam, which is the first and most important aspect of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada in some places, he says that the mission statement of ISKCON is to create an environment where souls can be sent by the prompting of the Lord within the heart so that they can hear about Krishna and then purify themselves, purify their existence by that hearing process, and then in that purified consciousness then go further and then practically be engaged in devotional service. In one place, Prabhupada on a morning walk in Los Angeles, 1976, June 10, Bharadwaj Prabhu, he said, so the only way to beat this cycle is Agyata Sukriti? And Srila Prabhupada says, why Agyata? Why not Gyata? Why Agyata? Why not Gyata? You rascal! Huh? You take Krishna consciousness. Why Agyata? Be informed. This is the only way. So, devotee, we're always looking for some shortcut or some path of least resistance. Well, maybe I'll get some Agyata Sukriti. No, no. Consciously you do, Prabhupada says. Why Agyata? Why not Gyata? Why not consciously do it? And then Prabhupada calling, you're a rascal. How you're thinking. And then Prabhu said that he can take it directly without having performed some pious activities? And Prabhupada says, he'll take. No, if he accepts, that is pious. And Krishna, he comes personally to canvass you. You rascal, take this and be happy. But he'll not do. Although it takes millions of years to come to that understanding, Krishna, personally, he's coming. You take it. I assure you, I shall give you all protection. Everything is there. But still, they'll not take it. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is our unfortunate nature. And in Kali Yuga, it's most degraded age. So Prabhupada in other places said, don't be unfortunate. Make your life become fortunate. So by serving Srila Prabhupada, by serving a bona fide spiritual master, this is how to make our life pious and how we can become fortunate. Then in a morning walk, Prabhupada was speaking in Perth in Australia, May 10, 1975. A disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, why is it that some people, when they hear about Krishna consciousness, they take it? And then some do not. And still, after that, some of those who take it, they stay. And some who take it for some time and then they fall or they leave. And Srila Prabhupada said, that is fortunate and unfortunate. Just like one inherits his father's property, many millions of dollars, and he has become a poor man by his misusing that money like that. He's unfortunate. He got the money, but he could not utilize it properly. And disciple says, Prabhupada, does fortune mean that it is the mercy of Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna's mercy is always there. It is your misuse of free will. You are given the opportunity. That is your fortune. But you do not accept that fortune. And that is your misfortune. That is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya said, E rupe brahmananda brahmate kon bhagyavan jeev. Kona. Some fortunate man, he can accept it. Because mostly, they are unfortunate. Especially in the Kali Yuga. Just see, throughout the whole of Europe and America, we are making big, big propaganda. But how many students have come? A very insignificant number. Although they have come, they are fortunate. They have gotten a great fortune. Then the devotee says, Prabhupada, sometimes we see a devotee, he may be very sincere, but at the same time, he becomes weak. He becomes in a weakened condition, and then he falls down. And Srila Prabhupada says, even if he falls down, still, he is fortunate. Because the injection is there. It will act one day or someday or another. Still, he is fortunate. As fortunate man, he took it, but then he fell down. That does not mean that he's unfortunate. Still, he's fortunate because the poison is already there. It has already been injected. It will develop. That is called agyata sukriti. And therefore, he is not a loser. He continues to be fortunate, but it will take some time. So in this class today, Ajamil, when he finally got purified, he realized he got mercy from the Lord and mercy from the Lord's devotee. Then he was just in his purified consciousness thinking back that the only way I could have been saved from this condition is that somehow Krishna, he didn't forget that little bit of service that I sincerely, seriously tried to do for him. And just because of that contact, that injection of bhakti, then that remembrance came by the mercy of the Lord. Does someone have a question or point we can discuss? Yes, Prabhu? Hare Krishna.
I never understood what Prabhupada's use of fortunate, unfortunate, because I don't understand what's behind fortunate and what's behind unfortunate. It's always bewildered me because there's a sense of the universe not having any order or rationale behind it. You know, everything we study is very analytical and it's very cogent. And then Prabhupada throws at us these words, fortunate and unfortunate, and I have no place for those words. You know, I know achintya, I know that, you know, we get this inconceivable mercy. But when that use of the English language in those terms comes about, I have no place to put that, and I wonder if you could give me a context for those words. You know, something I can really grab onto.
Okay, well, here's Srila Prabhupada's words on that topic. And this was in a morning walk. Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, March 14, 1976. Disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is our fortune that we've come in contact with such a qualified guru? What have we done to qualify to come in contact with you? In other words, why do some come and others not come?" And Srila Prabhupada says, "It is a jnata sukriti. You might have done something, very pious activity, which you do not know, but the effect is there." And then the devotee says, "So it seems like it's up to chance then." And Srila Prabhupada says, "No chance. Just like a sinful man, some saintly person comes to him, and then he gives some money to that saintly person. He does not know that I am doing very pious activity. But because he has given, then he becomes pious." And the devotee says, "If not even a blade of grass moves unless Krishna sanctions it, then why does someone have the opportunity to perform such a jnata sukriti, and then the other person does not? If Krishna is controlling everything, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord, then how is it that one person does the pious activity and the other doesn't?" This, I think, is your point, right? And Srila Prabhupada says, "Yes, Krishna wants. Suppose a saintly person comes to a very sinful man and he needs some money. Immediately Krishna says to that person, 'Give him, that sadhu, some money that he requires from within.' So he says, 'All right, sir, you take it.' So Krishna, it's so Krishna's desire. Unless Krishna dictates from within how he can give. How he can give. We are not the doer of our activities. We don't own our body or our soul. Krishna is the controller of all of his energies. So unless Krishna forces or gives that intelligence and that energy to perform, he cannot do." So then the devotee said, "So then where is the request, Srila Prabhupada, of free will or choice? If I want to give or not to give?" And Srila Prabhupada says, "No, no. Free will under Krishna. You can become free will and become a big man immediately. If that is your desire. Your free will is sanctioned by Krishna." Srila Prabhupada says, "The only thing a soul can do is desire. And then based on that desire, the strength of that desire, Krishna will give you the intelligence. He'll create a field. He'll give you the intelligence and then empower you to be able to fulfill that desire. And that's true materially and spiritually. So if you want to enjoy materially, then Krishna says, 'Okay, here's the material world. Here's the playground.' And then you're looking at the playground, and then he says, 'Now here's the intelligence, how you can engage your senses and enjoy.' And then he's empowering, giving energy to the body to be able to do that. If one has a spiritual desire, then Krishna creates a spiritual field, and then he gives you the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, he gives you spiritual intelligence and spiritual strength, how to perform that activity according to your desire." So Srila Prabhupada says, "The only thing a soul can actually do is to desire." So before meeting Srila Prabhupada, before meeting Premi Bhaktis and hearing about Krishna, where is there a question of developing spiritual desire? If we're in complete forgetfulness, complete contaminated consciousness, in Kali Yuga especially, then how will we change our desire? So when Krishna comes, we hear about Krishna, Krishna's devotee comes, we see his activities, his symptoms, his qualities, then we think, "Oh, this person is carrying all the gems, not the material dana, but he has all Vaishnava qualities. Humility, compassion, mercy, kindness, so many wonderful qualities." And then if somehow you can look at those qualities in his behavior and think, "Whoa, I wish I could become like him." I wish I could develop that type of spiritual quality. I wish I could taste and experience what he's tasting in his spiritual practice. What is that? Can I also have even a drop of it? Is it possible for me? Can I also become like him? So if Krishna doesn't send his dear devotees who have all saintly qualities, all attractive qualities, then how we struggling with uncontrolled mind and senses and suffering and developing all demoniac qualities, how will our desire change, or be, what will be the impetus to change our desire? It's by the contact and the association of such premi bhakta sadhus. Now all of a sudden we say, oh, instead of wanting to become like this materialistic person, rather we say, oh, I want to become like him. So Prabhupada is saying that ultimately it's based on your desire, and then depending on your desire, ultimately the final factor of action Krishna speaks about is himself, is Krishna. Then the devotee says to Srila Prabhupada, so even if I want to perform some agyata sukriti, it is only by Krishna's mercy that I will be able to do that? And Srila Prabhupada says, yes, that is stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As soon as he gives to a saintly person, or this bhakta, he immediately acquires some asset of future development. Immediately. So Krishna, he's supremely independent. He can do and he can undo. Then Hariswari Prabhu, he said to Prabhupada, so if Krishna has given the dictation, then is he dictating to every single man to give? The question is, why some and not others? Why is Krishna dictating to one sinful man to give, and to the other sinful man he is not saying to give? And Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna is in everyone's heart. That is Krishna's dictation. You cannot bind Krishna to dictate in a similar way. If he likes, he can ask a sinful man, do this. If he doesn't like, if he doesn't want to do, he may not act. He may not dictate. That is up to Krishna. And devotee says, so Prabhupada, ultimately, is it simply by the mercy of Krishna that he comes back to Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada says, yes. It is Krishna's business where to show mercy. That is his business. Also, where not to show. You cannot oblige him. You cannot force him. You show mercy everywhere. No. Naham prakasa savasha yoga maya samamvrita. You cannot oblige Krishna. You do this. That is not Krishna. That is not Krishna. If one is obliged to act according to your dictation, then he is not Krishna. Therefore, whatever Krishna likes, that he'll do. You cannot oblige him that you have to do it. No. That is karma mimamsa. That you're thinking, if I do good work, if good work gives good result, so why should I care for Krishna? I'll just do some good work and I'll get a good result. So why should I care about Krishna? And the ordinary people, they're thinking like that. That's called karma mimamsa. If I do good work, Krishna will be obliged to give me a good effect. Why shall I care for Krishna? Work is final. Karma is final. I'll do good work, and that's all. They say like that. But we say, even if you do good work, if Krishna does not want it, then it will not produce any good result. That is up to Krishna. He's supremely independent. And of course, even our suffering, if one doesn't do pious activity and one is suffering and getting heavy lashes of maya due to our ignorance, in some ways that's also mercy. That's also purifying, burning off our sinful reaction. And eventually, we are crying, the soul will cry, piteously crying before the Lord, oh, I must have done, you see how this Ajamil was feeling. I'm such a low prostitute hunter doing all sinful, nasty activities. Lamenting himself, he's crying before the Lord. And then he's thinking, I had such a wonderful opportunity. I did so much devotional service. Only because of that, I don't deserve anything. Only because at some point I tried to sincerely do something, that I'm able to once again chant the holy name and to be free from the suffering condition. Then the devotee says, so we don't, to Prabhupada, we don't have the mercy of Krishna yet? And Prabhupada says, no, everyone has got the mercy. But that mercy is not obligatory. He's freely giving. By his own free will, he's doing. If he likes, he can give you mercy. If he does not like, he may not give. That is up to him. That's why we're always crying, please, in a humble state, please shower mercy on me. Gurudev, Prabhupada, Kripa Koro, please shower mercy on me. Humble state of mind. Because mercy is the petrol. Mercy is the gasoline of the spiritual life. So that is a gift. And that comes by the Lord's arrangement and by His mercy and the mercy of His devotees. So then, devotee says, so why is it then, if it's a question of a jata sikriti, so the Indian devotees, from their birth, they're watering Tulsi, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're doing so many activities, but mostly your disciples at that time are foreigners. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, this is temporary. They may come again. It will never go in vain, just like a cloud. The cloud is meant for raining. Now it is not raining. But when there is sufficient cloud, then it will rain. You cannot say that there is no rain. So as we're accumulating this pious activity, the sukriti, bhakti sukriti, it's like building the clouds. Then eventually that rain can come. Prabhupada says, there is rain, but it is not sufficiently collected yet. When it is sufficiently collected, then automatically. So, Krishna, he has free will. He does as he likes. Everything, he's all merciful. He's kind. Even if we're punished, that is also his mercy. If we're forgetting him, we're suffering. Prabhupada says, you're suffering because you're forgetting Krishna. You're refusing to engage in his devotional service. So that punishment, Maya is handing out, Prabhupada says, the heavy lashes, the heavy kicking of Maya, that is also mercy. That is also mercy. Then we become very, very humble. You see this Durvasa Muni, he offended the Ambarish Maharaj. Then that chakra was chasing him. He was so proud, so arrogant. He's offending such a pure Vaishnava, Premi Bhakta. Then that chakra, the Lord cannot tolerate this thing, is just chasing this Durvasa Muni, he's running everywhere. And it's just, chakra is just on his backside. And through that process, he became really purified and real humble really quickly. That is also mercy. So it's just what flavor of mercy is Krishna giving? That is up to Krishna. But so, it's all merciful.
So when we chant Nrisimha prayers in the car before we go on a long trip, we're asking Lord Nrisimhadev to protect us from any accident and injury. But that's really a superfluous prayer based on our concept of what's good for us. In other words, you know, why pray for someone's material, so-and-so's in the hospital, let's all pray for them. But that's conditional. That's not a prayer of surrender. That's a prayer trying to request Krishna to do something that you want.
It's a matter of, Prabhu, it's just a matter of what is our motivation. So if I want to be protected while I'm going to do my service, I want that protection so that I can have an opportunity to serve my spiritual master. And if I'm not conscious and I'm not thoughtful, not prayerful, then perhaps this great opportunity may not be there in this present form. So if we have a spiritual motivation for why we want to survive, then that is fine. Please, Prabhupada said, when you pray to Lord Nrisimhadev, please protect the spiritual master's mission. Prabhupada in many places said that we'll not be destroyed from outside, we may be destroyed from inside. So anyway, you pray to Lord Nrisimhadev for your own, so that you can kill all demoniac propensities within your own heart, so that you can become a pure devotee, so that you can become a fit instrument to serve in your spiritual master's mission. And we're praying for the spiritual, to Lord Nrisimhadev. Someone in Mayapur just explained to me this, about how Srila Prabhupada said, for the protection of the mission of your spiritual master. So if we are part of that mission and we want to serve within that mission, that's why we want to survive. That's why we want to be in a safe condition. So what is your ultimate motivation for praying? Is it pure or is it conditional? Right? I want to survive because I got to make a lot of money. I got to enjoy my senses. I didn't enjoy enough yet. I have family. I have material desires, material attachments. So it's a question of motivation, of whether that's spiritual prayer or whether that is a materialistic endeavor.
Well, you know, I really appreciate that you read that. I never read that conversation before. At least I don't remember. So that really clears up a lot of things, and I really appreciate that you brought that to light. I don't quite buy the argument that you're making that we're praying for our spiritual welfare to carry on our guru's mission, since we're going to carry that on according to our desire, either in this body or not, or if we get in some accident that actually might help us carry on that mission, it's impossible for us to comprehend Krishna's plan and everything. So, you know, I tend to take the route of just praying that, my dear Lord, however you want me to serve in whatever condition, I'm trying to be your unalloyed servant in that way. And I always was uncomfortable with the idea of praying for some kind of material protection, but then...
Well, you're saying it's material protection,
right? No, I know,
right?
But, you know, yeah. Even subtly thinking that, well, you know, help me carry on so I can finish this movie to spread Krishna consciousness, or whatever it is, you know. Because my senses are so contaminated that I'm sure that there's a lot of ego in that anyway. But I know that Prabhupada told us to chant the Nrisimha prayers and do 24-hour kirtan when he was very ill, worldwide. And so I'm still left with a confusion, because not that I don't understand that was because, you know, Prabhupada was completely spiritual and we were on the spiritual platform doing that, but as a precedent for our own lives, it seemed to be, to my sense of it, it seemed to be a little contradictory, because
by your senses, what
it appeared to be a little contradictory.
Uh-huh.
Because it set a precedent for, we should pray for somebody in the hospital that they get better. We should pray for somebody. You know, now we're, you know, doing these ridiculous yajnas. Someone will drive their car onto the property here, and I see, you know, pujaris offering incense to it. You know, and I go, yeah. You know, it's like, where are we going to go with this? You know, where the purity of that discussion with Prabhupada is so clear.
Yeah.
That, you know, everything depends on Krishna. Why not just to surrender your heart to him completely and just say, okay, whatever, Krishna, whatever you give me, you know best. Father knows best, you know.
It's a question of faith.
Yeah, it's just a question of, and forget all the praying for, you know, the person to live or die. My mother was just ill in the hospital, and my sisters were all opposite. And I just prayed to Krishna. I said, if you could just take her out of pain, I don't care. Live or die, doesn't matter. Just take her out of pain. Yeah. And even that is my own take on it. It's not, mm-hmm. I really should pray, Krishna, whatever. You know best. Please give me peace with whatever you do. That's the prayer. or give my mother peace with however you treat her, or like, you know, to me.
Well, this, Prabhu, there's also, my understanding is that there's also material emotion and there's spiritual emotion. So these leelas with Krishna and Krishna's devotee and those interactions and those relationships and those emotions that come within those prayers or within those activities, that is also, can be and should be spiritual. So this is what it means to be persons, to have variegatedness, to have activities, to have leelas, to have spiritual emotions. You see the emotion that Srila Prabhupada is expressing in that prayer when he's speaking about his spiritual master, and he's feeling himself so low. Why is not just saying Krishna's Bhagavan? You know, it's just like when who came to see the gopis and Mother Jashoda and Akrura, right?
Uddhava
came. So they're all in separation, and then Uddhava's coming and saying, you know, why are you crying? You know, your son is Bhagavan. And he's coming there to try to like make them more comfortable, but actually they want to be in a particular mood, and they want to see that the Lord, you know, in their own personal rasa. So there is spiritual emotion, and it looks similar to material emotion, but it's heaven and hell difference. So there's rasa, there's relationship, there's lila in relationship to our spiritual master in his mission and performing that mission. So we also don't want to disturb what is that spiritual emotion, because that is also very touching and very melting the heart and bringing us nearer and dearer to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada says that this leela of the spiritual master getting ill or getting sick, and then everybody's taking care of him. Devotees are coming, and they're, why not just say, you know, he's controlling every energy. This is Krishna wants him in that condition. So, you know, why not just look at it absolutely and say, then why do we have to take care of Srila Prabhupada? Why do we have to pray to Lord Nrisingadev? You see, so if you just look at it from, you know, a so-called absolute platform, there's no personality, there's no personalism, there's no spiritual emotion. And so therefore it becomes very, very dry and very, you know, nothing is there. So there's spiritual emotion and prayers, and I that's what's coming to me, is that it just depends on whether we're seeing it and understanding it from, you know, from a spiritual platform, or whether we are seeing it that we're just doing this thing because we have some material attachment or material relation or material desire. So in that sense, Prabhupada says, you're like Vanak, you're like a businessman. So this is also conditional, that's not the pure bhakti. So that also has to be given up. Otherwise, we can just dismiss all prayers. You know, why pray to Krishna, oh my dear Lord, you know, please engage me in your pure devotional service. Why not just say, look, according to the accumulation of my pious activity in this life or last, or how much agyata sukriti that came to me, to that degree of that purification, then I'll be engaged in some service. So why should I pray for service? So that's just my understanding of it at this point. I'm sure it's very, you know, multifaceted, many levels you can discuss it. But that's just one quick thing that came to mind. Just a matter of consciousness and motivation, which determines of whether it's a spiritual activity or spiritual emotion, or whether it's material and done for material purpose. I think that has to be understood in a deep way.
Or a mixture of both.
Yes.
It's not pure material, it's not pure spiritual. There's some mixture.
Well, as long as this mixture is there, there's a jnana, jnana and karma, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, the mixture is there. It means it's not unalloyed.
One thing that came to my mind while you were discussing there was a particular incident that happened in Vrindavan at the end with Srila Prabhupada. Devotees were taking care of Srila Prabhupada. He was incapacitated there. And one day, he hadn't eaten for months and became very thin. Then one of the disciples, a devotee called Vishnu something, from Canada came. Him and his wife came. And they were cooking for Prabhupada, but Prabhupada wouldn't eat. I remember I was helping in the kitchen, Anuradeshavapu, who's now, what's his name? Bhaktivedya Purnaswami.
Huh.
He joined in St. Louis same time I did. So I'd help him in the kitchen. Hmm. But Prabhupada wasn't eating that. You know, just the servants who were taking care of Srila Prabhupada were eating.
Hmm.
But when this devotee came, for some unknown reason, Prabhupada ate. And he ate a lot. And the devotees were in ecstatic. You know, Prabhupada, after so long, now he's eating, he'll get his strength back. You know, they were ecstatic, literally. I remember seeing his servants taking care of him, like Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda. They were just like walking around the Krishna Balaram temple, chanting their japa so enthusiastically. Prabhupada had eaten.
Prabhupada's going to stay. By his eating, Prabhupada's going to stay.
And then the next day, you know, Prabhupada took a turn for the worse. So it was like that. It was like a roller coaster ride. One day good, one day bad. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, we're this, you know, service that we're doing now, it's making us so attached to you. We're becoming more and more attached to you.
Hmm.
And because we're focused on you so much, your health up, down, and we're developing so much attachment for you. And Srila Prabhupada replied, said, yes, that is my duty.
That is my
duty. So I, you know, having that relationship with the spiritual master through service and becoming attached through doing that service, focusing on trying to do that service,
yes.
That is something that is wanted and required.
He's attracting, he's making us develop love towards him. He's stirring our spiritual emotion that this person who has saved you, who has made you the most fortunate, is an imminent situation which any day, any moment, he may decide to leave. So then we should become much more serious that, please, let me just somehow surrender and follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, my Gurudev's instructions. So this emotion is required in order for us to go deeper and deeper to commit ourselves or rededicate ourselves to his mission. So those things are necessary, and that's part of personalism. Otherwise, if we just look at it all absolutely, then why do anything? We just sit there and be like bhajananandis, and it's all going on. But Prabhupada said, no, you should step down. We're ghostianandi. We're preachers. So we step down or up and try to become engaged, right? Do you what? I'm sorry?
How does that relate to, and how does that relate to chanting the Nisringa prayers for ourselves before we take a drive somewhere in Mumbai?
Because
we're in Prabhupada's car, we don't want to see it get damaged. And this is Prabhupada's body, so we don't want to see it get damaged.
Right.
He has some kind of plan for all of us,
yeah,
to do something in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
So we don't want it to get messed up. So we're praying to Lord Nrisimhadev for that.
Exactly.
And the way that some of the drivers drive, you need to chant Lord Nrisimhadev's prayer. 140 kilometers.
Some
down
of
the
our
road.
Best chanting of Lord Nrisimhadev's prayers has been while we're driving in India, isn't it?
There was this new devotee I took him to. His name was Bhakta Dan. I took him to Mayapur. And when we were coming from the airport, I sat in the front, he sat in the back. And then we went to Guru Sudai Road, had some prasad, and we were going out to Mayapur. So he said, I'll sit in the front this time. I said, yeah, sure, you can sit in the front, Bhakta Dan. So we went out to the, you know, Mayapur and that road. And I could see that literally he was holding on to the front of the, you know, dashboard, and he was so tensed, you know. And I was kind of sitting in the back thinking, welcome to India. And then when we got there to Mayapur, I said, well, how was the ride? He said, those were some of the best rounds I ever chanted, I said.
Okay, I'll leave you with one story. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sitting in the back with another devotee in Delhi at night, and Trivikram Swami was in the front, and they were driving very fast through the roads there. And Trivikram was talking to them, so he was turned around. He wasn't looking in the front. And there was a truck up in the distance, and it was crossing the road, and they were approaching it very fast, and he saw the eyes of, you know, Tamal just start to widen, and the other devotee, and he couldn't understand what they were talking about. And just as they were going to hit the truck, he turned around to see the collision. And he yelled out, "Jesus, Mary, and Joseph!"
And the, right prayer, wrong names.
And then the taxi swerved, and he missed the truck, and they kind of went on for about, you know, a minute or two, and nobody said a word. And then he turned to the back and said, "Yeah, that early conditioning is really hard to overcome."
Well, at least he said Jesus. It could have been something worse.
Right, right. Well, Prabhupada gives a story about the parrot, right? You can get the parrot to chant Hare Krishna. Give him a cracker, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then if you grab him by the neck, you right? He forgets to chant Hare Krishna. So those moments really show us where we're at also. Anyway, we can discuss more. I know everyone's eager to get in the car to chant Nisringadeva prayers on the way to distributing books in the Bombay traffic. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Aki, Srila Prabhupada Aki, Srila Gurudev Aki, Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Aki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bom.